Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, finn@offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up today, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today I'm going to tell you the story of Oregon cowboy Hank Vaughn's most profitable gunfight. While the gun smoke and horse feathers were flying behind the auction house, the legendary cowboy's lawyer was buying his wife's farm back out of foreclosure for a song. I wrote this one way back in 2009. It was first published in the newspapers on August 2nd, 2009. Here we go. Of late, a disturbing number of Americans have seen their homes sold at auction at the courthouse steps. While this isn't a situation that should be made light of, it's interesting to think about how one of Oregon's most colorful characters dealt with a similar situation 120 years ago. The character's name was Hank Vaughn. For most of the post-Civil War 1800s, he was a Umatilla County legend. In places like Pendleton and Athena, some buildings that used to be saloons still have bullet holes that he put there, and the scars on the floor is courtesy of his horse. Vaughn was a gifted horseman and was well known as an outlaw and a gunfighter and an all-around frontier rowdy. Hank was from the Brownsville area originally, and at age 15 he was involved in a shootout there that left two lawmen dead. He spent 8 years in prison. One source says his family pulled strings and got the governor to pardon him. Once out, Vaughn married a widow with a big wheat farm, the subject, many years later, of the auction I mentioned. There are many stories about Hank. He would go on benders in which he would ride his horse into every bar in Athena, visit each bartender, take a drink at the bar, and move on to the next, without getting off his horse. Then, suitably sozzled, he'd race through the streets of town, hooting and firing pistol shots here and there. A day or two later, he'd come back to town, sober, with cash, and pay for all the damage. Hank earned himself a lifetime free pass on the railroad by foiling a train robbery. He was taking a nap one day when three men, armed with revolvers, boarded the train and told everybody to put their hands in the air. It should be said at this point that Hank did not much look like an outlaw. In fact, he looked like one of those sober, dignified family patriarchs one sees photos of on the hearths of old-line Quaker families. He was a natty dresser with a big Jeremiah Smith-style beard and a long, black Prince Albert-type coat. People who didn't know him seldom had any idea that he was possibly the most dangerous man in the state, nor did they know that big black coat was covering up a pair of big revolvers. In any case, a minute or two later, Hank managed to get his fingers around the butts of those revolvers, and that was all he needed. A couple noisy, smoky seconds later, one of the bandits was dead and the other two were running for their lives. But the auction. The Umatilla Indian lands were being auctioned off, including Hank's wife's spread. She was Umatilla. Hank had hired a lawyer to represent him in the auction. He had some business to attend to. By some odd coincidence, the exact moment that Hank's wife's ranch was on the block, a gunfight broke out behind the building. The bidders raced to the scene to see what was going on, and it was Hank and another man who turned out to be one of his friends. They were shouting and shooting, but nobody seemed to be hitting anybody, which for a pistolero of Hank's caliber was odd. Finally, things settled down. The bidders re-entered the building, and they found that in their absence, Hank's agent had bought the farm for him, and without anybody bidding against him, he'd gotten it for a pretty nice price. That's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. You can access all those at our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. I do this for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising and I don't ask for donations. But if you feel like making a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, was published by the History Press in 2012, and you can order it on Amazon, or if you'd like a signed copy, from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. However, if you still have a community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources I used in writing this story. The podcast, like most Offbeat Oregon history resources, is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. If you're ever in Corvallis, do drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger now. Our next show is going to be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.